Hello, everyone.
Hey, guys.
This is a fine day.
Is it a fine day? It's windy. Why don't we start with the weather report?
It's a fine day, love ducks.
Love
ducks. So here we go. We are going to do something a little radical today.
We are. Guys, we have a third mic hooked up. Chelsea's smiling over here. We have our first guest.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, she's so bashful. She's hiding in her beard. No, this is so we're excited to have Chelsea here. She's my weefay, my wife.
Corbin's a weefay. She's my sister from another mister.
And
that's right.
If you recall, if you've been listening along the way, 2 years ago we did the movie review Moana.
This was back when we had no idea what we were doing, and we apologized.
We were quarantining.
Yes, we were.
And specifically in this movie, I said my wife has been wanting to come on the podcast. And so 2 years later, here she is.
Here I am.
Dreams are coming true.
Today, this moment.
As we speak.
We need an applause track.
Oh, we do. I'm not even in a position to applause because I got to hold my mic.
Yeah.
So this isn't working.
Yeah. Anyways. So
we are doing a Moana revisit. Chelsea has some things. She listened to the podcast. She loves this movie, but she feels like there's stuff that we need to chat
there's
about.
There's more.
We got to mine it.
Ooh, I like that.
Get in there deep.
I like that.
So Chelsea has some stuff she's going to bring up, and we're going to chat about, and we're going to do a Moana revisit and get into the nitty-gritties.
Couple of apologies I want to express.
Oh, dear.
From our previous episode.
Yeah, it's not good, guys.
Cabri doesn't even want to listen to it.
I don't know.
Bunch of rookies, whoever those two doofuses were.
Yeah.
But one thing was, after I listened to this episode again, just a day or so ago, we talked a lot about Beauty and the Beast during the Moana review.
We sure did, guys. We wasted probably 20 minutes talking about the wrong movie. So we're not going to make the same mistake here. We're apologizing, and we're leaving it.
Okay, I'm not going to say anything, but I just thought it was kind of fun that you got some comparisons between Maui and Gaston. I thought that was really fun.
It was
so
fun.
Apology accepted.
It was
but,
fun.
You know.
But while I was listening to it, I
you're
this,
like, shut up.
I was like, wait, what movie review is this? I got really confused. We love Beauty and the Beast, but we're going to move on. No more talk of that. Second thing, this is not an apology, but this is actually just a brief little moment. I had a little chuckle while I was listening to our episode from 2 years ago. The best quote from that episode.
I hope it was me.
I'm actually going to pat myself on the back here.
Dang it.
We were talking about Mother Tala, Grandmother Tala, that is. And I said that in terms of her character, she was better dead than alive.
Oh, yes, you said that.
I do remember that.
That's terrible.
Oh, my gosh.
Which is true.
It's halfway true. I feel bad saying it, but that was really funny when you said that. Oh, guys, we need this. Can you go back and insert that here? I want to hear you say it. Okay, now we can move on. Corbin will put his own voice in.
Oh,
there.
Okay. Well, homework for me. Okay. So with that being said, we are very superficial, I feel like, with our initial episode of With Moana. So Chelsea is here to give us a little deeper dive. So Chelsea, where do you want to start?
Well, okay, so when Corbin asked me out on our first date.
Oh, no.
Yes.
No,
I'm just kidding. This is the only time. This
now
is the only time
bashful.
I'm going to bring it up, I promise. But he asked me out, and he was like, okay, I've got something to ask you. And I was like, okay. And he's like, okay, get your scuba gear on because we're diving in. That's the term he used. And then he explained how he was interested in me after all and wanted to take me on a date. So that's like my favorite thing to say is get your scuba gear on because we're diving in.
I love that. It's very relevant and cute.
And it is kind of tropical.
It is tropical. So. We're scuba-ing with Moana.
I'm not liking the direction this is going.
Oh. This is about Corbin.
Chelsea has now been uninvited, and me and Chelsea will be talking now. Corbin is leaving.
You hear footsteps out the room.
The door closing.
Door slamming. I'm going to go get a snack. Okay.
Honey, it would just get all the worse if you left. We would do all the dirt on you.
So let's dive in.
Scuba. We're scuba-ing.
Scuba diving in. Where would you like to start?
Okay,
here?
Well, first, so this is interesting. Since you guys did your first review of Moana, Lin-Manuel Miranda is an even bigger deal. Because in your podcast, it was like, Cameron was surprised, actually, that you knew his name, Corbin.
Well, I think that just highlights how she feels about me in terms of my...
Corbin doesn't like musicals or Hamilton, so I didn't know what else he would know
him from. Hold on. Musicals? Careful.
We just quoted Les Mis 10 minutes ago and you didn't even blink an eyelash.
Okay, but what about Mary Poppins? Number one.
Disney musicals, Corbin knows. Okay.
Okay.
And Fiddler on the Roof.
So, but okay. Yes, Lin-Manuel Miranda, yep. We didn't talk about him much. We just gave a little brief, yes, I know of him, but yeah, obviously now.
He's a
pretty
household
sexy
name.
Name.
Oh, gosh.
Almost too sexy. Would you say he's too sexy? Are people tired of Lin-Manuel Miranda? That's a question I have.
No.
Parents?
Maybe.
You guys tell us on Instagram. Are you tired of the songs from Encanto?
Are you tired of Bruno or are you tired of Lin? Which one?
Okay. Anyway,
sorry. Can you separate the two?
Ooh. Good point.
I think you can. But anyways.
Well, I am a big fan of his. I feel like he is so prolific. Cameron, we've had conversations about this. To me, this is too much hype. I know it is. But to me, he's like a modern day Shakespeare. Like just, oh boy. His words like stopping. I mean, as mentioned before on this podcast, we do captions on our TV at home because I can't catch all the words.
They love silent
Corbin's
movies.
Even worse. So yeah, anyways, we always have the captions in watching Hamilton with the captions on. My mind is blown. And I love all of the lyrics that he's done for Encanto and for Moana. And I can't wait to see what else he does. I know there's other things. There's Tick, Tick, Boom that he's been working on.
Yeah. Yeah. I kind of want to see that.
Yeah.
Just him and Andrew Garfield together. What?
Yeah.
That's quite the combo.
I don't know who Andrew Garfield is, but I nodded because I wanted to see
Spider-Man.
Cool.
He plays
Spider-Man.
He's
the second one.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Spider-Man the second.
Yeah.
Like royalty,
yes.
Right?
Yeah. Okay.
Spider-Man the first, the second.
Peter the
yes.
second.
Yes.
Peter the second. Excuse
yes.
me.
Peter
yeah.
the second. Yeah. So, it's just interesting. Interesting guy.
So here's my question. When I was listening to our original episode, Cameron mentioned a little bit about how he got this part. He was doing kind of Hamilton and Moana at the same time. He was creating it.
Yes. He was writing Hamilton while he was doing
it. So where did this guy come from? Like how did, and I find this fascinating because obviously fascinating. I think I said that funny.
It's so fascinating.
But it's like a new business that pops up, right? And someone taps into something that no one else has really thought of. It's not like it's never existed before.
Right.
But it's new. And his approach to music is, I mean, there's comparisons, I'm sure, but just this like genre that he's created, I'm very curious by. Where did this fella come from?
So he has said that he was actually a substitute teacher, like in the Bronx for a really long time.
I bet he was the best
time.
Substitute teacher ever.
That's what I'm imagine? Saying. He was an English teacher.
Oh, boy.
Oh, I would have died. But yeah, he was a substitute teacher and he wrote his first musical in the Heights. And that kind of took off and did some off Broadway and then went on Broadway. And so it took him a long time to like kind of break into the business because he was just kind of teaching and doing his thing. But yeah, then he wrote In the Heights. I think that got
a
little
the
buzz.
Heights was a big deal.
Yeah.
Maybe not on our level, but like on the Broadway level. People
yeah.
That,
for a first time playwright and
yeah.
like writer.
Yeah.
yeah.
He kind of killed it on that.
Yeah. And then after that, I don't know what he's done between In the Heights and Moana, but then like Moana kind of came up. And then he was working on Hamilton, and then he just kind of got shot into the stratosphere after that. So
yeah,
I just
yeah, boy, that's a good phrase, shot into the stratosphere. That's really, I mean, it was like, oh, hello, wow,
big old firework in the sky, boom, boom. Yeah, we've talked about this. Like, I just think I agree with you. He just has a way, like the combination of his cultural background, and the way he hears music. And also his background of like growing up in New York and in the Bronx just like gives him a very different perspective on musical theater. And it's like very percussion based, you know,
yes.
like Moana and the drums.
Yes.
And Encanto with like.
There's just a lot of drum in that.
I love that it brings like a different flavor because you can get these musicals that all start to sound like Cinderella and Beauty and the Beast, which
yeah.
are very traditional. But yeah, he just brings a flavor all his own. And I can't believe the man doesn't have an EGOT yet. It's happening.
Wait,
it's
what's an happen. EGOT?
You win an Emmy, a Grammy, an Oscar, and a Tony.
Oh boy.
You passed the test. Well done.
He's waiting
that,
on his
yeah, that
Oscar.
Was very impressive,
and he keeps almost winning. So.
If it's multiple choice question, all the above.
Yeah.
He's
done an
all
the above-er.
He's closer.
Yep.
Close, right?
Yeah, I think he just needs an Oscar. Wow. And he keeps almost getting it.
He's not that old.
See,
that,
I know. That's the crazy thing.
That's my point right there. He almost keeps getting it, which means, is he too sexy? Are the people tired of him?
No, he's not too
no
sexy.
No more awards for this guy.
No. No. Well, he keeps getting... I feel like every time he goes in for best song, like he did for Moana and he did for Encanto, there's always this like crazy good song that just came out of nowhere and you're like, what?
No,
seriously?
I think society is all about building people up and then as soon as they're about to hit the peak, they just love to tear them down.
No.
I think he's beyond that. I think he's such an
he's
artist
like
that to me he's over that.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's doing this for celebrity level. I think he's doing it for the pure love of creating.
I agree with that for him. But
and
I think society is...
Even though he might continue to keep doing that, he might not get acknowledged for hitting that level.
Like Cary Grant, right? He never won any type of award until after he died.
That's because all he did was
smolder
at people.
Oh boy, he was a great smolder.
I don't know if that boy's going to be winning a best Oscar for smoldering at people.
No, Cary Grant was fantastic.
Oh, I love Cary Grant, but I'm just saying he's not like a Spencer Tracy or whatever.
No,
anyways.
No, he is, by George.
The fun thing about Moana is it feels so mature for how early it was in his career. Like, I really am blown away at how well done Moana is, considering that, like, he hadn't even done Hamilton yet.
Yeah.
And Hamilton is, like, the pride and joy.
Yeah, it's so interesting. Like, did Disney realize they were taking a big risk, or did they know more about him? And, like, he was thrown in at the last minute.
Yeah.
Like, they're on their way to this big, like, Polynesian cultural, you know, celebration. And he gets hired on, what, the day before?
Yeah. And it's like, okay, pack your bags. We're headed to the islands. Please come with us.
Like, was there a plan B? Or was there a plan A that fell through?
Yeah.
And he
I'm kind
was
of
plan B?
Curious at, like, what are your
Sounds
other
like
options?
Sounds like he was plan Z. Because if it was the day before, I don't think Disney's like, oh, let's look up the phone book. Oh, that guy. Let's just...
I'm really curious
books.
At, like,
phone
book 1950s. I'm curious about, like, what the audition... Not audition process is, but, like... I mean, we know what it's like for actors. But how do you do this for, like...
I was thinking the same thing.
Composers.
I was thinking the same thing.
And
like,
lyricists.
Hey, make some music for us over there.
Write
Come
a
on.
Write a random verse of a song, please.
Here's a drum. Let's see what you got, kid.
He's
like.
Just like, doo, 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 doo.
And he could.
And they're like, that was really good.
This sounds more like SNL, like when Will Ferrell was trying out. He acted like a cat.
Yep. I mean, who knows? Maybe he had to act like a cat there, too, to try and get the part.
Okay, but fun fact, he found out that him and his wife were expecting their first child the day that he got the job for Disney.
Oh, that is magical.
So, he's like, Moana is basically my first son's little sister.
Yeah, that's so cute.
They grew up together.
And I think that, like, I think they named one of their kids Sebastian after Sebastian the Crab from Little Mermaid.
No
like,
way.
Like, he is in hardcore on Disney, like, loves the... Because that's the musicals that you grew up with, right? And when you're into music
not
and
me,
into
apparently.
Writing... Well,
like,
that's not your
musicals.
Genre.
Apparently, I don't listen to those.
But anyways, he loved Sebastian the Crab so much that I think they named their son after
him. That is so fun.
That's so cute. Oh, man. Yeah. So I love Lin-Manuel Miranda. I'm like you. I'm curious to see what he keeps doing.
I love
him,
too. I'm not dissing him. I'm just wondering.
Corbin's a naysayer. So if somebody's like...
I'm not a naysayer. I'm saying
you have
the public. I want to understand what is the public perception of people who get to the top or getting close to the top. Because I've been watching some things about athletes and how... And I was like, yeah, the public loves to tear down a success story. So
I don't
I'm
know.
Glad we're not there yet, though,
I think
if
there's
that
something
is going
in
to
his
happen.
Personality that I... If you guys, like, want to know more about him, I love watching him do interviews because the way he talks about his craft... Like, I don't know anything about music.
That is a beautiful
but
thing.
But he is so articulate and passionate about what he talks about that he just, like, draws you in and makes it so fun and amazing. Just hearing him talk about Alexander Hamilton's life is amazing because he just was so invested in it. And the way he saw it, the, like, cultural perspective he brought to that story, it's just crazy. I get excited when other people get excited about what they love.
And that's why you are an artist. That's what artists are. They have to love it and be passionate about it. And then the creation comes out. And he's the definition of that.
Yeah.
I like that you said, like, the culture, because I feel like that's one of his strengths is he's like with Hamilton, that he, like, got so into this culture of, like, early America and combining it with his current culture of what he grew up in.
Mm-hmm.
And then Moana is so, it feels so authentic.
Yeah.
Because he just wrapped his arms around this culture.
Yeah.
And in fact, I read about, I was like, what is his creative process? How does he do this? And he says that first he discovers the culture that he's trying to portray.
Yeah.
And then he'll go into like percussion. So get like a rhythm down.
Mm-hmm.
Like literally he'll just be in the room with some drums. And that's how it gets started. He's thinking about this culture and how it makes him feel and the rhythms that he's heard from their culture. And then he's making up his own and then he puts the words to it.
Yeah.
And so that was true with Encanto. I don't say it right. Encanto.
That was good.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And Moana, you know, I don't know about Hamilton.
I really like what you just said there, because a lot of times we see these types of movies with a message. And it feels like sometimes the message is not about embracing, but rejecting or picking on something in culture, right? It's like we're highlighting this part, but we're also kind of sending this message of this stuff over here is wrong and you guys need to. And I like this idea of embrace the culture and just wrap your arms around it instead of like having your arms around it and looking over your shoulder and like, do you guys see what I'm doing here? It's just like, no, just immerse yourself in it and be creative with it. I love that.
Well, and I think there's also the side of it where I think it's been because he is someone who kind of grew up on the outside of mainstream America, right? Like lower income, immigrant family. Like he has this perspective of my people don't fit in necessarily. And so I think he understands what that's like and what it's like to see people try and represent your culture inaccurately.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that can be difficult for other people to come in and be like, oh, well, I'm going to give you my interpretation of Native Americans. And it's like, no, we don't want your interpretation. We want to hear it from them first. And then, you know, so I think he understands that relationship and holds it very sacred because he's been on the outside.
And respecting.
And respects that, like, there is a way to do this properly and to do it respectfully.
Creatively.
And creatively. Yes. Yep. Yep. Mm-hmm. He's the right man for the job, guys.
Yep. He's the man.
I love this. This is much better.
What a mighty good man.
Ooh, I'm swaying my hips in the background.
Yeah.
We're singing today.
There you go.
Wow.
That was it.
Okay. Anything else? Any other songs?
Salt and pepper, baby.
Cameron is bursting into song.
That comes out occasionally.
Okay, but speaking of songs, so in the podcast, you were very excited about Shiny. Are you still a big fan?
I do still love Shiny. I do. I'm sorry, Mom. No, I'm not sorry. You know what? I had a conversation with my 14-year-old nephew, and I was like, how do I be more confident? He's like, you just got to own it, you know? Just like, don't apologize.
Oh,
I'm not apologizing. I like Shiny.
Your mom's listening to this. Dang it. Turns it off right now.
I know. And I'm like, I just admitted I'm taking confidence advice from my 14-year-old nephew.
Hey, he's a confident little guy.
He has got it together.
We can all take some confidence notes from him.
Man, let me tell you.
Okay, but the guy that sang that song is, do you know who
Clemens?
He is?
Clemens.
Jermaine.
That man.
He's
We're
from
prepared.
The Flight of the Conchords. Yes. I thought that was such a great pick to have him in there.
I did too.
And
honestly.
He's New Zealand, isn't he? Isn't he Kiwi?
I think they did try and like keep the cast.
So it kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
This is great. I
still love Shiny.
I still like it too.
It's his voice. His voice is so unique and like he's got that like little like high pitched whine in it. And I don't know what it is, but it makes me so happy.
It's so fun. It's so fun. It fits Tamatoa's personality.
Much rather that than like I'm trying to think of other villain songs. Scar's villain song, no.
Thank you.
Hunchback, creepiest song ever.
There's no good villain songs. This is the only good villain song.
This one's just sassy. I love the sass.
Yeah.
It's not creepy and it's not scary. It's just sassy. I think that's why my mom hates it. Because she didn't like the muses from Hercules because they were too sassy. I was like, come on now.
Yeah.
Do you?
So your favorite song was We Know the Way, Corbin?
Yes.
Is it still?
Yes. Must be consistent.
Watches his eyes are movies yes. And then tosses them out after we podcast. We both liked that one a lot. Because that's the one where they're all in the boats in the group together.
Yes.
That's a really special song.
I do
song.
Like that. Yeah. I'm just trying to remember and I like that song. Yeah.
Well, when they were at this, like when the cast of the, not the cast, but the people who were making the movie were, when they were at this Polynesian song celebration thing, that there was a singer there that was singing like a lot of these lyrics and they took him. Like they took that singer.
They're like, thank you.
We'll
plucked
get you.
Him out of
put
the group.
Him on the plane.
Like, but, where am I going, fellas?
But that's it's a New Zealand song. And I love that. It's, again, back to the point that you guys were making, that it's so pure to the culture. At least they tried their very best to keep it pure to the culture.
Well, and this touches on, like, the family history component of this movie, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, a big deal. And this is something that you wanted to talk about.
Yeah, I do.
Just the connection between not just, like, culture presently, but the family and how we have come to where we are today.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the big components of this movie that we really liked initially. And I think you liked, Chelsea, that this connection between Grandma, Moana, and getting answers from things that have already happened.
Yeah, it's a major theme in the movie. I mean, like, do you remember when Maui's trying to describe what a wayfinder is to Moana? And he says, wayfinding is seeing where you're going in your mind and always remembering where you're coming from. And in interviews with Lin-Manuel Miranda.
LLM?
We can do LLM. Interviews with LLM.
What's the extra L?
Miranda. Yeah, LLM. Oh, dear.
I was going Lin-Lan-Lel. Lin, if you're listening to this, we're so sorry.
We apologize.
But
if he's listening to this, I am pumped. Welcome to the podcast, Lin.
Welcome, Lin. Please stay.
Little shout out would be awesome. That would be awesome. Anyways, go ahead.
Oh, but so that quote, I don't know if he came up with that himself, but he used that as like a major premise throughout like the song about, you know, we know the way and how far I'll go. Yeah, it's really cool. I was looking up like, is this really a big part of their heritage? And it's huge.
It's huge.
Yeah. There's actually a word for like that thing with the grandma taking on the stingray.
Corbin says her better half.
Her dead half.
Her dead half, the
dead
manta ray.
Better half. She's never looked better.
Honey, you look gorgeous.
But rest in peace.
That's a real thing in their culture, especially I think before Christianity and stuff, that they believed that their ancestors would take on the form of an animal. So like they call it amokua. And so the stingray thing, that's totally real. They don't think that like all stingrays are my ancestors, but they think that sometimes if a spirit from your ancestors are trying to help you, they can sometimes take on the form of an animal temporarily.
Mm, yeah.
So there's you know, that didn't just come out of nothing. And like apparitions and stuff, they believe that you can be visited by spirits of people from your past, from your family tree that are trying to support you.
This is so cool because I just feel like, at least like the culture where we come from in Utah, like, we have like a family history thing based off of like the religion that we are, and like family history is a big thing for us. But I think sometimes we look at it as like names on a paper and filling in blank spaces so that the paper is full and complete. Right.
Look, I've done.
Yeah.
I finished my homework.
It's a homework assignment. But like, I love these cultures that honor their ancestors as like, these are people you have relationships with. These are people like, and your relationships don't stop after people have died. Like, you keep having relationships with people.
Yeah.
And people
that's
can.
Good.
Isn't that a beautiful concept?
It's cool. I have goosebumps.
Goosebumps. I really do. But I think it's something that we've kind of lost.
Yeah.
At least definitely in like mainstream American culture, but even like within our own religious culture where we kind of have the same beliefs in a way, but we just don't see these people as people that we have relationships with, have had relationships with, that people that know us. And I think that that's something that like I love to rediscover, is like get to that point where you're like, I feel like this person's real. Like,
yeah.
This is a real person to me.
Yeah. So they've done studies on the importance of connection. Like, that's a major need for human beings, is to feel connected.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a TED talk, if you want to look it up. Everything you think you know about addiction is wrong. So this is by Jonathan Hari. He teaches that the opposite of addiction is not sobriety, it is connection. Connecting with members of our family, past and present, by learning their history fills an innate need in each one of us.
That is so interesting.
Yeah, I was digging on this, and there are so many studies done that are saying that like, hey, this isn't just like something that old people do when they, you know, are trying to remember who their grandma is.
Who's like, grandma?
It's about
who am I?
It's about finding our place and gathering strength from that. So I'm gonna just keep talking for a second. Don't mind me. I'm really excited about this. So when 9/11 happened, it was a terrible tragedy, was also kind of an interesting foundation for a social experiment, because all of these kids had gone through mostly like a similar upbringing and had this a similar trauma happen to them when 9/11 hit. And so psychologists did this study, and they found that kids that showed the most emotional resiliency from everything that they had been through, they had roots to their family history. They knew their family stories. They knew their family background.
So these are kids that they were affected directly by 9/11. It wasn't like me in middle school.
No, no, no. They were like in New York City.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
It was New Yorkers.
New Yorkers.
Yeah.
So New York strong.
So this is a quote by one of the psychologists of this experiment. He said, the more children knew about their family's history, the stronger their sense of control over their lives, the higher their self-esteem, and the more successfully they believed in their family's functions.
That is crazy.
It turned out to be the best single predictor of children's emotional health and happiness.
Oh my goodness.
Isn't that mind-blowing?
That's crazy.
Yeah, this is kind of taking me to a place of
Corbin's on
deep
the couch.
Reflection here.
Corbin's on the couch, everyone.
Because just the fact of filling a need, which addiction is typically more, it's like self-centered a little bit, like right. Kind of.
But you're trying to
there's a gap.
That
they're,
is, yeah.
They're trying to fill, right?
Finish your thought, yeah.
And so a lot of times we think I've got to do something for myself, right? And which leads could potentially lead to addiction. And we're not talking like hardcore drugs or alcohol or whatever, but it could lead to a lot of things where we're just trying to fill this need within us. And I find it very interesting that connection socially, not even with people who are alive, but people who have come before, can fill that need. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah,
right?
Yes.
This is interesting to me because honestly, like I think all of us thought like the opposite of addiction was like being sober. Like that's what you're striving for. When really like what that's saying is it's cutting through what addiction is and getting to the core of it, which is addiction is often what we fill our lives with when we feel like we don't have,
we're
like
coping.
We're missing with some. Yeah. Yeah. Something's missing. We don't have that emotional connection or stability in our lives. And so it's like, well, I might as well either
numb,
go to oblivion or numb myself or yeah. And so this idea that connection is the way to fill in those holes, and specifically like family connections, like that is powerful. Who would have thought that like family could be that type of thing to like heal people who've had addictions for like 20 years of their lives? And this is something that runs in our family. So this is why it's kind of hitting me, is like we know like this is in our entire family history, is people who have struggled with having connections and dealing with it with addictions in various ways.
Mm.
I really liked it also as well how it talked about how the children exhibited pride in their own family, right?
Mm.
And we're in a weird, interesting stage right now in our society where we're rejecting everything that came before us. And again, for good reasons, like there's obviously things, but I think it's not just, you can be proud of your upbringing and the things that you were taught and not accept everything that came before you, if that makes sense.
Absolutely, like, yeah.
So I think we got to be careful that we don't just eliminate everything before us and say, oh, they were just so whatever, right? They were so wrong and now we'll be better. You lose that connection, you lose perspective and that understanding of growth. So,
but I also think on the other flip side of that is that like you've had a lot of people who like for whatever reason, whether bullying or like racism, like they have had that connection severed. Whereas like I don't want to think about my family who came from Vietnam. I don't want to think about my family who came from Africa, like because those things are not acceptable in America. And being different culturally is making my life more difficult as a high school student to like. Because my friends are like, your family eats weird food, or like, why do you wear weird clothes? And so I'm grateful that it seems we're moving in a direction where it's more acceptable for people to like kind of embrace their cultural heritage and be like, this is my family, and be like, yeah, that's really cool. Like, I don't think you dress weird or that you eat weird food. Like, I'm proud of you for like feeling that connection and like keep embracing it.
Yeah.
Because that's what I think kind of what we love about Lin-Manuel Miranda, right? Is that
right.
he is able to take all of that cultural heritage in his family and use it as a means of expressing his very unique point of view. Otherwise, his works wouldn't stand out and be as incredible as they are, you know?
Right, right. And in this specific story, like, do you remember Moana? She tried to get to Taka, and they got blasted, like literally blasted out of the sky. Maui's hook broke and he took off.
Almost broke. Did it almost break? It or like almost cracked broke. Or something like that? Yeah, yeah. So it was like,
he was also
on the verge.
And she was
of
on her own. He ditched her. And remember, she gives the heart back. She tells the ocean, I don't want it. She's someone else. And the turning point for her is that apparition by her ancestors. Mm. It is very powerful. Remember, it's like the reflection of the sky, stars on the ocean. And then they come and they sing that song. And
they're
just like
glowing. The manta ray is glowing. Oh, in the theater, we were all weeping.
Oh, I still
like
weep.
The kids are sitting there like, oh, this is cute. And I think like me and my mom and my sister-in-law, like we were all just absolutely in tears.
Yes.
Because it was powerful.
Yes, and it's family history.
Yeah.
It's connection. Mm-hmm. And it, like, maybe there's some bad stories, but guess what? The bad stories are learning experiences.
Yeah.
Like, if anybody, I know Atomic Habits is really popular right now, that book. He talks about that even when you're developing these habits, even the little ones that maybe don't go so well, they add up to be what you are now. Mm. And so it's okay to grab hold of that and be like, look what we learned. And it makes you stronger. It makes you who you are. So
just based off of what you said as well, and you brought up Maui, that's what he's striving for. He's looking for connection.
Yeah.
Yeah, because everybody's been in a distance because they're all just like cheering for him and putting him on a pedestal.
I've started off being rejected based on the, what was the song? Was it the song by, who sang that song that was telling his story? It was the Jermaine Clement guy.
Oh,
was
probably. It?
He
probably
was telling the story about how he had been rejected.
Oh, yeah.
And so I find it fascinating as well that Moana had a connection. That's what helped propel her forward. Mm-hmm. Maui, who seems so confident, seems to have the world at his fingertips.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he's been
a thousand years. So.
You know. but he is still looking for connection. He finally finds that in Moana, and it kind of changes his perspective.
What a great point.
Whoa, that's really cool.
Yeah,
yeah.
I like that.
Because, like you said, he was rejected initially. I can't remember. We got to look back on those lyrics because I'm forgetting them. I'm like, wait.
Closed caption.
You're right. Closed caption.
And it's on, remember the tattoos? She keeps bugging him about the tattoos.
Yeah. And I'm just remembering the tattoos of him with the people like cheering for him and like carrying him crowd surfing.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, that's great. And that can fill for a second. But really, you're not actually connecting with anybody.
He doesn't have a family.
Yeah, that's not intimate connection. That is just praise.
Oof. This is social media, right?
This is social media.
We're looking for connection.
Oh, I'm dying.
What?
This is our podcast,
we're addicted
right?
to, we're addicted to that praise.
Outed.
You know? Yeah. And then we're filling this need when we really need to look around us and develop deeper connections with the people closest to us, family, friends.
Yeah.
Well, anyways. So,
I love that.
Guys, I feel we could get really deep right now. I'm going to try and restrain myself. Chelsea, what else have we got?
Okay, so the brand.
I'm curious now. How do we leave off that? You want to go deeper? Or?
Well, no, I'm just like sitting here. I'm thinking about like how like, well, I'll get on the couch with my life.
Lay down.
I've got a pillow for you.
I need help. This pillow is very comfy. Believe me.
I've been laying on it all season. No, I just think it's interesting that like, we're just in this time where we've come out of the pandemic and you had so many people who struggled with isolation. And this idea that like, even if you have family physically that you're not close with because of arguments or emotional turmoil or whatever, like you have an entire family's worth of relationships behind you of people that are like cheering for you and that you can connect with.
I feel that.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
So even if you're listening to this and you're like, well, I'm not close with my family, so I guess that leaves me out. No, like you've got family that's come before you that's cheering for you and that you can get to know.
They've done crazy awesome things to get to this point, right?
Yeah. And then also like I think you can have those very intimate, vulnerable relationships with friends and like you don't need a huge crowd of people that are on your team. You just need like a few good ones. Mm. And then
I like that.
After that, you can make it through anything. Oh, this is so good. Chelsea, look at this deep dynamic you bring to this podcast.
It's Moana. It ain't me. It's Moana.
It ain't me.
Okay, one thing before we move on. So if you're interested in doing some family research, FamilySearch.org is a great resource. Ancestry.com. I mean, there's tons of them. And I want to add one thing for parents. I was reading another article about teaching children family history. Share your own stories too, even like the bad stuff that happened to you, because that creates resilience in them, and that creates a connection from them to you, and it teaches them that, like, through the ups and downs in life, it's going to be okay. So wanted to add that.
I love that. That's a good point, because I've had moments, I remember talking to my dad, where he told me stories about him growing up. And when I'm going through a hard time, I've reflected on that from time to time, or with my mom as well, like, that she can do some hard things, I can kind of do some hard things. I love that. That's great.
Yeah, because I think sometimes, like, as adults, we think that, like, we have to hold ourselves a little bit above the emotional turmoil of children and teenagers and be like, oh, no, it's all good and yes. It's always been good. But yeah. No, it's like, no, this is hard.
Yeah.
And it was hard for me, too. And, like, we're all in this together and it's all going to be good. So I agree, Chelsea. I think that's a beautiful
connection. Connection. That's what it's about. I'm a Moana. Okay, so I want to move on to the next thing I wanted to talk about.
We're so ready.
You ready?
Okay. We're so ready.
So I love this. This is like emotional therapy for me, so I'm going to try and not get too
personal. Weren't we already doing emotional therapy?
It's still going.
Oh, heavens.
Okay.
Well, so we're taking turns. Camry's off the couch. Chelsea,
please lay down.
Here I go. I'm laying down. So there's this theme of, like, how do you judge an individual's worth in Moana? Like, I think especially you looking at Maui, like Corbin, when you're talking about that, like, his self-esteem is based on what other people thought of him. And like Tamatoa, it was based on his outer appearance. It was based on his look.
Because he was shiny.
and then you have Moana, who's trying to figure that out. Is trying to figure out where do I fit in? Where do I belong? What's my purpose in this society? And I love going through each one and kind of talking about, what did they learn? What can we learn from this story?
Yeah, with Moana specifically, she knew her purpose, but it didn't it didn't sit well.
It didn't fit the mold.
I was going to start as fit and sit, and I was struggling.
It's fit and sit.
It didn't sit well.
Hiss in the building.
But she knew. It was clearly laid out for her. This is what you're supposed to do, and it was not working for her. Maui thought he knew what his identity was, but it was all tied up in his hook. I like this idea of identity, and let's go down this path a little bit more.
Let's start with Moana, maybe, because I think you gave us a nice little opening into Moana. Moana.
I tried.
Wow, guys. Well, there's three of us, none of us can
talk.
Because it's interesting, because if you look at Moana, like, it seems like she had all the pieces, right? Like, she had a supportive family, she had a supportive grandma,
she had it all.
She was the princess of the island. Chieftain. Sorry, not princess.
Ooh, this is getting good. Because look,
she has a purpose.
Corbin's dying to talk. He's waiting for Kimmy to finish.
Sorry. And then she's got her purpose outlined. So, like, what's her struggle? Like, why aren't those things aligning? And what's the gap in between, Corbin?
Which takes me back to, like, high school, when you're looking at other people. And some people you look at and you're like, oh, they don't have very much. I admire them, right? And other students or other people in school, they're rich, they got a nice car, their family seems to be amazing. And so you kind of look at them and you're like, you don't have any challenges.
Yeah.
But everyone has struggle, right? And Moana's that type of person where it looks like on the outside, she's got it all.
Yeah.
But she has some things she's dealing with and struggling with in terms of her own personal identity.
Oh, guys, we could get into, like, the trauma of the parent. Because if you're looking at Moana, like, she has a great family and she's got a purpose, but the problem is they don't line up. Like, her purpose is not what her dad wants for her, and her purpose is something that actually frightens him because he had trauma in his past life.
His own issues, right?
Yeah, where he had a friend who died trying to, like, take the boat out past the coral reef. And so he's got his own trauma he's trying to work through, and Moana's like, look, I'm just trying to do my purpose here. And he's like, I don't feel good about this. She's like, well, I kind of do, but I still want your support.
Mm-hmm. I don't like what you're saying right now.
It's interesting.
It's scary,
like,
as a parent.
It is, because I'm a parent, clearly. Oh, gosh. But it's been interesting because I've been, like, studying a lot of, like, working through, like, past trauma in your life, because we all have it. Even if, like, we had a good childhood, we all have those things that just kind of, like, have embedded themselves in us. And the voice that just, like, whispers to us about stuff that's not true. And this idea that, like, we all have things that kind of inform how we view the world. And it's important for us to, like, recognize them and be like, okay, this is a good place for me to, like, start working on stuff so that my tainted point of view is not being spread to other people. Because otherwise Moana wouldn't have ever gotten past the reef. She had to listen to grandma.
Well, let's look at this same lesson with Maui. That his parents rejected him.
Yeah.
Remember, he says, they took one look at me and they decided they didn't want me and they threw me back in the sea.
Yep.
Not back in the sea. They threw him in the sea. and that trauma is carrying with him, where he is working so hard just to get affection and connection from other sources. Mm-hmm. Or like with Taka. Like, I think that's kind of the climax of this theme in the movie of, like, you know, your own worth, is that she actually was a goddess. She was a creator, but yep. something bad happened to her. That trauma of, you know, her heart getting taken, and she was a destroyer. Mm-hmm. She was unrecognizable. And I think that we all carry things. Like, okay, so when I was in high school.
Oh, boy.
I know. Here we go, I'm on the couch.
The high school story.
Well, no, this is seventh grade.
At least I'm not.
Oh, seventh grade.
But, I had me and my friend, we were, you know, like in the cool group, and we had a falling out. And I carried that with me. I was like, I kind of let myself become a victim, and I just felt like such an outcast, and I became an outcast. And that went on for years until finally I realized, like, why am I doing this?
Yeah. Why are you carrying it with you?
Yeah. That's yeah. So we're all grumpy to cause at some point.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
But the incredible thing I love about Moana is that she has the vision to see past it and be yes. like, wait a second, this is yours. And I don't know what's going to happen if I return it to you. But all I know is that whether you try and kill me or not, it is right that I see past yeah. this and give it back to you.
She knew. Because, like, the lyrics, I love the lyrics. Actually, I cry, like, every time. It's really dorky. And my kids are, like, staring at me like, Mom, what's wrong?
So embarrassing.
I don't get it.
But when she tells the ocean, let her come to me. And then Taka is just crawling towards her. Like, creepy, creepy. Like, Macy.
It is creepy
nightmares about this
crawling.
For, like, a year. But she is just, like, she's going to tear Moana up. And Moana says, I have crossed the horizon to find you. I know your name. This is not who you are. You yeah. know who you are. And then she puts the heart back in. Yeah. Oh, I love it. I love it. And I'm like, we all need a friend in our lives that sometimes when we are, you know, when we're a lava monster, someone can be like,
when
we
that lava monster.
Hey, this is not who you are.
I'd be
really
like, it's okay that you're this way.
Yeah.
If you are good. And we're going to help that goddess come back out.
Yeah. You don't need to let the trauma carry you and kill you for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
You can shrug it.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. See the depth that comes from Chelsea, guys?
Oh, no. No,
no, seriously. Like, my word. I feel like we've just been fed.
I think
one of us is
going to
get replaced here.
Oh, please. Well, I don't know who's going to be, but ain't going to be me. No, I just really think it's the people that wrote this story, and it blows my mind that they can make it so many levels of fun and funny and entertaining and beautiful and cool and then meaningful. Like, every time I watch this movie, I walk away being like, I'm going to connect better with my family.
Yeah.
And I'm going to, like, let go of grudges, and it teaches you something.
I think this is the cool thing. Like, you're hitting a really good point about, like, I think why Disney movies are so nostalgic for a huge generation of us. Not only was it, like, what we were watching when we were young, but it's stuff that you revisit now as an adult and you're like, wow, like, this teaches me stuff. Like, look at the things
yeah.
that we have just talked about when we're talking about, like, the themes of this movie. And this is what, like, good art is for me. Like, it doesn't matter if it's a painting or a book or a movie. If you can create something that embodies, like, these superhuman themes and resonates in a way that, like, gets adults like us to talk about stuff that we wouldn't talk about otherwise.
Yeah.
Like, that's why we need art in the world.
Mm-hmm. Amen. 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 Preach it, girl.
Oh, boy. Got a couple artists in the room here.
You betcha.
And I like it.
And then we have the scientist over here who's like, yeah, okay. It's okay.
I was going to bring up some psychology when we were talking about identity and things like that, but I will.
You'll refrain?
I will refrain this episode.
Okay.
For now.
Okay. Chelsea, do you have anything else?
Yeah. Any last
that's
words?
That's
yeah. What are your last words? Give us, like, your last.
Sounds like I'm going to die. Yeah. Your last words, if you don't mind.
If you don't mind, please hurry up.
I don't know. I guess in a nutshell, how this movie helps me be a better person is just realizing what really matters. It's not like your hook. It's not this cool thing that you have or cool thing that you do.
It's not your shiny.
It's not how you're dressed. Oh my gosh. Okay. For anybody that lives in Utah, and drives down I-15. The billboards of plastic surgery is like, whoa. And I, as a society, I mean, I'm not against plastic surgery, but I'm just saying, as a society, I think we gotta
especially for women,
we gotta keep ourselves in check of like focusing on what really matters, and that's
which ultimately in Moana is kind of like how you treat people and the relationships you have. Because she was the one that like saw through the lava and was like, you know what, I'm gonna treat you like you're somebody who's hurting and needs a friend, and that's what happened. Same thing with Maui, right? Like in the end, he realizes, you know what, my connection with Moana is more important than my hook.
Yes.
And I want to be here for her.
And he still gets his hook and he's very excited about
it. I know. And then
but
you're
he
like,
does have the connection.
But he does learn, yes. Right? And same thing with her parents. Like her parents realize, you know what? Our relationship with our daughter is more important than this trauma that I've been holding on to that kind of drove her away from us. So, yeah. Oh, Chelsea.
So, the end. That's all I had to say. Except for, okay,
Oh, boy.
I just want to say my favorite, all-time favorite quote from this movie is the crab when he thinks that he's digging up the heart of Tafiti. Uh-huh. And he says, the power of creation for a crustacean.
For a crustacean.
I just love that part so much. I don't know who wrote it, but it's so funny. It makes me laugh every time.
I love the rhyming. For a crustacean.
I know, creation, crustacean.
Oh, my gosh.
That's all. I just had to add that.
That's when that rhyme hit, somebody was like, oh, that's it.
Yep.
Creation, crustacean, guys. Come on now. Oh my goodness. All right, Corbin, where are we going?
Let's do some reviews. We've added this segment in the last year or so. So we didn't do this with the original movie review. So we're going to do a couple of movie reviews from the intranet and we're going to rate the reviews. All right.
Yes.
Cameron, you got some?
I do. Chelsea, I'm excited.
So excited for this, you guys. I listen to your podcast all the time. And so I'm like, oh, I get to be here and talk about it. Because I'm like talking to you, you know, through my speaker.
Just call me later, girl. We talk about it. Okay. My first review is from Dennis. Gave it 5 stars. He said, shiny coconut crab, 11 out of 10. Hearty agree.
Coconut crab? Is that what he is? Is he a coconut crab?
I don't know, but that's the reason he loved the movie.
We've been watching lots of Octonauts lately. I think there are coconut crabs.
So I'm going to be nerdy here. This is a decorator crab that Tamatoa is.
Ooh.
Yeah. So Dennis.
Sorry, Dennis.
Sorry, Dennis. But Dennis, I still love your review.
But
so
shiny
great.
Is still
it's
11
out of
10. 10.
Yep.
For sure.
Yep.
Okay. All right. So my first review, this is from Hassan. When I horribly chose to see the amazing movie, I was horrified by the horrific quality of this horrible film.
Oh my goodness.
It horrifically stunned me into horrificement.
Wow.
Horrificement?
I think that's how you say that word that he made up.
Where's this?
This is 1 out of 5 stars, 4 months ago.
The Thank alliteration you. Here is just overwhelming.
Thank you, Hassan, for chiming in.
His name starts with an H, too.
Yeah,
I think that's not his real name, and he just did that so it sounded good with his review.
Okay, I'm like, do these companies that like let people post reviews, do they screen them? Because sometimes I'm like, this kid was bored.
It's the internet. Nothing is screened.
No, there's nothing.
Just throw it out there.
Freedom of the press, Chelsea?
Yeah,
we won't on the internet.
Okay. Oh, it's horrific.
All right, my next review is from Gina G. Gave it 1.5 stars.
Oh.
The soundtrack wasn't up to the mark of Disney. Plus, it was drawn out and sometimes slow.
Wow.
That is a bash on the Lin-Manuel.
Yeah. He's going to see that. He's going to be bad.
Oh, yeah. He's like,
okay.
This person needs to get away from the TikTok because, you know, like we have to watch videos in 30-second segments and has to be action-packed the whole time. You can do it. You can get through an hour and a half long movie with some story.
But honestly, guys, did you feel any part of this was slow?
Oh, it's been a minute.
When she's feeling sad and down in the dumps and her grandma shows up, yes, it's a little slow there.
No, that's not slow because that's emotional.
But it's still slow.
The pace
if you're not
is
connecting
calm.
Emotional, that's what I'm saying. It's a lot of people don't know how to connect emotionally to movies. Like they're like, where's the action? Where's the funny? Where's the entertainment? And it's like, no, there's story and there's reality here. And we're connecting with the characters. So anyways,
guys,
that's my point.
Just rewind and listen to our talk about trauma we just had. That'll help. It's going to help me.
It's going to help me. Okay. Dear Diary. Okay, my next one is, this is from Untamed Obsess. 1 out of 5 stars. Ready?
Oh, jeez.
What you doing down here? Get back up there again. This movie is great.
Wait,
1 out of 5 stars?
Yeah. They're like saying, why are you doing it in the 1 out of 5? Get back up to the 5 out of 5. This is a great movie.
I'm very confused.
It's not confusing. They came down to the low 1 out of 5 star reviews and said, this is a great movie.
Oh,
get back up there.
Oh, but they had to do it 1 star rating. I thought they were saying that, like, Disney, why are you making 1 star movies? Get back up to 5 stars.
No, they're saying this is a great movie.
So they're speaking to the other reviewers, basically.
Yeah, they're
okay,
like,
gotcha.
You're reading all these crummy reviews. These people don't know what they're talking about. I'm here to set you straight. Get back up to the 5 out of 5 stars.
I hope that we interpreted that correctly, or they're going to be...
No, that is very... That is
they're like, exactly, that is not what I was saying.
Nope, that's exactly what they were saying. Well done, Untamed.
Okay, I'm curious on your reactions to the following review. This is from Xiao S. 3 stars. I don't think that it's better than Frozen.
Oh, I got some words to say.
I love
that
the like hesitation. I don't think, I'm not sure. Maybe.
Possibly.
Enter.
You know, this would get us on a whole conversation of like what makes a movie really good. And I mean, to me, like Frozen, I appreciate it, but it stays on a surface level. Like, what are the deeper themes? Like sisterhood?
Sister.
You know, and that's great. And there's a lot of, like, the princess is magical. So I think it attracts a lot of kids. And there's
a
good
snowman.
Song. Yeah, and a cute snowman. But I feel like a movie like Moana and what we're seeing with, like, Encanto is, like, we're getting more meat. We're getting more of the story. We're getting more character development. And we're heading in a better direction. No offense to Frozen, but maybe this is offensive. And
Frozen is offended.
That I said my piece.
Maybe Frozen. I think we're just kind of oversaturated with it, right? Like, we're kind of tired of it. So maybe we're so tired of it that we just like miss the bigger.
I contend
picture.
That it's flat.
I don't even know
I
what
do.
You're talking about. This is about Moana. So
sorry. Okay.
Moana's awesome.
Well, we're comparing Moana
you have your next
to
review?
Frozen.
Corbin did not like that review. Sorry. I have a review from Chelsea. 5 stars.
Oh, this was mine.
Oh,
look
at that. 5 stars. Oh, what a thought. She said, if you don't like this movie, I do not like you.
Oh.
Personal.
I feel that's
how
what you
dear.
Would have said, Chelsea.
Oh, dear.
You would
all
have
those
said
other people
that.
On the reviews that are reading, they're like, oh, gosh.
Dang.
Gotta put in my dukes for this girl.
Oh, that is... Wow. Okay. Fair enough. Chelsea was very passionate about it. There you go.
All right. Was that all your reviews?
That's all my reviews.
I got a couple others I could throw in there. They don't make sense, though. So anyways, there we go. It's the internet. What else do you expect? All right, you guys. Let's see. Oh, well, there you go. There's our review of Moana.
Our re-review.
Re-review.
Our rehashing.
Yay.
Retry.
Our deep dive.
Deep
that
dive.
That was a good scuba time.
That was.
Scuba that was time. A good deep
oh,
dive.
Oh, yes, we did. Yes, we did. The scuba
yes.
gear.
The scuba gear.
Gear.
Corbin
scuba
was blocked from his memory because it brought up trauma.
It was... Yeah, anyways, let's move on quickly. Next week, we're going to do another movie review.
We are, and we are allowing Chelsea the great privilege of picking our movie because
yes.
she was kind enough to come chat with us. So, Chelsea, what are we watching next week?
Onward.
Onward by Pixar from 2 years ago?
No.
It's been a bit.
It's been longer than that.
I will look it up. You guys talk about it. Cameron does not like this movie. It's got boys and stuff and things she doesn't like.
That dang them boys. No, Chelsea, why did you pick this movie?
She doesn't watch movies with boys.
Ew, boys are gross.
Oh, cooties.
Moana forever.
Yeah. Chelsea, why are we watching Onward?
Oh, it's so good.
It was 2 years
good.
Ago, 2020.
Wow,
well
good
done,
job,
Cameron.
Camry.
Dialed in.
Well, this came out during the pandemic, I think, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it kind of... I feel like
flew
it didn't
under
get,
the radar.
Yes. This is the same reason why I like Encanto and why I like Moana is because I like the things that these movies teach me and I like they're beautiful. I think they're all beautifully well done and Onward is no exception. And I mean, I can relate to the characters also. But I didn't want to pick it because I know Camry is not...
Guys, but this
super
is
super exciting.
This is what it's about. It's about poking and prodding and making us do things we don't like. It's good for us. The trauma, yes. It's
this
good
is
for
why
us
this is fun,
things.
Though, is because this is why, I mean, when it's just me and Corbin, like, we're kind of in our little cocoon and we don't, like, get other people's opinions. And so that's why it's fun to hear from you guys about, like, why do you love these movies? Because then you start seeing it in a different way and you're like, okay, never mind. You know, like, maybe it's still not my favorite, but, like, I see the merit now. So I'm excited to see
okay.
what happens. Maybe I'll just have to invite you back.
Oh,
to talk about on.
This is way too fun.
I think I just got fired.
Me and Chelsea will be reviewing Onward next week, guys.
It's been real. Real fun. Ladies.
Oh, boy. So, yeah, Onward next week. Chelsea's pick. Chelsea, yep. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Thank you, Chelsea.
Thanks for having me. This has been so fun. You guys are awesome.
This has been another episode of The Neverland Files. Subscribe and review and join the conversation over on Instagram at The Neverland Files. Thanks for listening.